Thank you, Marty and the Romantics, everyone. I'm not a musician or anything. I'm not very good at musical instruments, but I do love good music. How many of y'all love good music? And we have some of the best and most talented musicians in this church, and Marty's got just a phenomenal voice and just love to hear him sing. And maybe you heard about the guy who did something very bad and unlawful, and this has been years ago, and he was sentenced to death before the firing squad, and so it was the next day he was to stand before them and had a sleepless night, and they came and got him and escorted him out to the field and asked him, they said, would you like a cigarette? And he said, no, thank you. And they said, well, would you like to say anything before we do what we have to do? And he said, well, he said, you know, I've always loved music. He said, singing is my passion. And he said, may I request one last song? And the guy said, I guess we can do that. He said, you promise there'll be no interruptions. And the guy said, yeah, there'll be no interruptions. He said, we can accommodate your last request. And so he began to sing 1 billion bottles of beer on the wall, 1 billion. Shame on y'all for laughing at a beer joke. How dare you in church? Hey, there's a special day for two folks here that attend faithfully. The Deckers, Marnie's parents, Marnie Farr's parents, Rob and Marnie are a special part of this church. Marnie's parents, the Deckers, Mr. and Miss Decker, it's their 59th anniversary today, so 59 years. You youngins, hold up your hands, everybody can see you. There they are. Don't look a day over, hardly 59, and so happy anniversary, bud. And we love you guys and appreciate it so much. You haven't had a chance to come to our awesome August Wednesday night revival yet. Let me encourage you, please make sure you come this Wednesday. We've had some really good speakers. Last week was Anson McMahon. I bet he burned 4,000 calories preaching that sermon. Afterwards, somebody said, oh, why don't you preach like that? I could drink a 12-pack of Red Bull and not preach like that. It was beyond description, and it was phenomenal. And so we've had two really good speakers. We've had great crowds the last couple of Wednesday nights. This coming Wednesday, we've got Jim Perdue. He is the pastor of Second Baptist Church in Warner Robins, the largest church, probably even in Middle Georgia, certainly the largest Baptist church in Warner Robins. And so you come and hear him. He is a really, really gifted and great speaker, and you'll really like him. He's got a good style, and I think will fit well with the audience that we'll have Wednesday night. So you come and be blessed and inspired by his words. If you haven't been here the last couple of Sundays, we're doing a series through the Ten Commandments. And last week, we looked at the danger of creating idols. Idols are not just something you create with your hands, but it's something you can create with your heart. Anything can be an idol. And so we're going to move today to the third commandment that God gave to the Israels. What's in a name is the title of today's message. What is in a name? Not long ago, a man named Paul Dickinson wrote a book simply entitled Names. And he spent years collecting the names of people, unusual names. And he recorded that in many instances, what people were named became prophetic for what they ended up doing with their lives. For instance, he equated several people that do that. Did you know there was a baseball coach named Joe Bunt? Joe Bunt. Podiatrist named Jeff Treadwell. The name is indicative of what he does. There's a barber named Dan Druff. Is his name. There was an actual female inmate named Robin Banks. Guess what she did to get in jail? A plaster repair man named Will Crumble. My favorite was a urologist named P.P. Peterson. But anyway, let's move on. True story. But names are interesting. Names are very, very interesting. You know, there's a big difference between God's name and our name. For instance, one of the biggest differences is we don't get to name ourselves. Our parents name us long before we even know what our names are. But the remarkable thing about God is no one ever named him. He's just always been who he is. And so here's the deal. God doesn't tell us what, let me say this correctly. Because of who God is, we don't tell him who he is. He tells us who we are. Because of his name, we don't tell him who he is. He tells us who we are. And so his name comes before all other names because his name is above all other names. And what we're going to see in this message today is that we have to take his name seriously. Now, this is a hard message for me because it's I've been figuring out a way to spin this and make this a more positive message. And in the 8:30 service, we had a great 8:30 service, had some folks baptized, but there's no way to spin this. About halfway through preaching this message, I looked out and everybody was like, it's a very convicting message. And like Rob told me this morning, there's a time and a place for hard truth, and this is a hard truth message. So if you brought your Bibles, turn to Exodus chapter 20. I'm going to read just one verse, verse 7. The title of today's message is, What's in a Name? Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. If you're there, say amen. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. And so reading this one verse, there's one thing that we quickly discover about God. He takes his name seriously. You think about it. God's given us a list, a top 10 list of things that will displease him. Things that we can do, things that we can say, actions that we can take that will displease him. And out of those top 10 things, the number three thing God says is, do not misuse my name. Why do you think God is so sensitive about his name? Because a name represents three things. It represents character, it represents reputation, and it represents authority. And so who and what you are cannot be separated from your name. And God says, do not misuse my name. If you misuse my name, if you misrepresent my name, then you are defaming my reputation, my character, and my authority. Now you probably look at me, many of you have known me for almost 10 years, and you know I try to, most instances, I try to be careful about what I say, and you couldn't imagine that I would ever intentionally use God's name in vain, because most time when we hear someone using God's name in vain, we say, I don't like to be around that person. He uses God's name in vain. What we mean by that is he uses God and he follows that up with the word damn. And that's what we say. That guy uses God's name in vain. I was preaching in my first church at Flow Villa Baptist. I know you think that's probably not an actual place, but it is. I was at Flow Villa Baptist. I left there, went to Musella Baptist, and now I'm at Lizella Baptist. I'm just building a powerful resume and career that the Lord is doing. Luella is probably going to be my next church from here. I don't know what the Lord intends, but I was in my first church at Flow Villa, blessed to have two really great members, John and Joy Walker. John, Joy Walker, raise your hand, right sitting right there, second row behind Casey. Phenomenal people. I had the privilege to ordain John as the first deacon ordination I officiated in was John Walker's deacon ordination. And so John and I were not, he was not just a church member to me, he's a dear friend to me. And so John and I were talking, I don't remember if it was before or after a service. And so we were talking about another deacon. And John, I don't even know if you remember this, but I said, and we were talking about another deacon. And I said, I love that guy because he's willing to tell me the truth, even if it's hard truth. And so John said, I'm glad you said that. Can I tell you something you do that really bothers me? I said, well, I didn't know I was opening this door here, but I guess so. He said, I haven't heard you do it lately. He said, but a couple of Wednesday nights ago, we were in prayer meeting and you were soliciting prayer requests, and somebody said something that it was kind of a bad news, dramatic situation. And he said, you responded, oh, Lord, that's terrible.
And then he said later on, as you continue to take requests, somebody shared something really good, and you said, good Lord, you've got to be kidding me. And he said, I'm not trying to hurt your feelings here, but he says, isn't that using God's name in vain? And when he said that, it was like someone had kicked me in the stomach, because I didn't even realize I was doing it, but I was taking the most sacred name, the name that is above every name, and I was misusing it in a flippant way, in a very cavalier manner, and it broke my heart to think I was doing something that would break his heart. But it was a habit for me. I didn't even realize I was doing it. I thought I was doing something better by saying that than I could by saying many other things. I didn't intend to be wrong, but I was wrong, and it was sinful. And I wonder if that may be the case for some of us here today. You love God. You have a strong relationship with God. You read Scripture. You're faithful in church. You would never intentionally do anything that would displease God or disappoint God. But you've got a habit of taking His name in vain. And I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings this morning. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. I'm just trying to be true to what the Word of God says. We're to take His name seriously. Back when they were transcribing the Bible, these Hebrew transcribers would write and recopy the Bible from scroll to scroll. And so these Hebrew scribes, when they were transcribing the Bible, listen to what they would do. When they would come to the name Yahweh, it was such a sacred and holy name for God that these transcribers, before they would write the name Yahweh on this scroll, The transcriber would first go bathe himself, and then he would get dressed, and then he would fast, and then he would come out, sit at his table, take a brand new quill, and he would write the name Yahweh. And when he got finished writing the name Yahweh, he would take that pen and he would discard it. He would take those clothes that he was wearing. He would burn them. Then he would go take another bath. Then he would come back with the old quill and continue to transcribe. You know why he would go to that much trouble? Because the name of God was so sacred to them, and the name of God was so revered to them, that before they would even write it, they would take drastic measures first. Can I just say, oh my, how times have changed in terms of the sacredness of the name of God. Jesus himself, when he was teaching the disciples to pray, he said, this is the model prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. The word hallowed means sanctified. It means set apart. It means to be held in awe. Now, when my daughter was just a child, she started a habit when she was very, very little. She would suck her fingers. As most kids suck their thumb, but she would suck this finger. And that finger became a time for her that she, when she was relaxed, finger was in. When she was stressed, finger, it was like a little cigarette to her. And when she needed it, it was there. And so her best days, her favorite events were spent sitting in a chair with a blanket with her finger in her mouth. And quickly, that finger became something very special to her. And so whenever she would pick something up, she'd pick it up like this. And she, whenever she was playing with toys and she was moving something, that finger didn't get used for anything other than one purpose, because it was sacred. It was set apart from the other fingers. It was to be special. It was sanctified. And so that's what God is saying with His name. We're to set apart His name. We're to sanctify His name for one purpose, to be magnified. And so we ought never misuse the name of God. We ought to, anytime we refer to the name of God, we ought to do it when it's out of worship. And it should never be frivolous. It should never be empty. But God says, when you take my name, you better be serious. It better be with proper respect. It better be with adoration. It better be with worship. You better start with my name, because my name represents who I am. Psalm chapter 111, verse 9 says, holy and awesome is the name of the Lord. In fact, if you were to look in Leviticus chapter 24, there were two Israelites that got in a fight, and one Israelite hit the other in the chin with his fist, and the one that he hit cursed God. in front of a lot of people. They were fighting in front of a lot of people, and he cursed God. And so they took this guy before Moses. This is what God told Moses to do with this man who cursed the name of God. It says in verse 13, Leviticus chapter 24, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Take the blasphemer outside the camp. All those who heard him are to lay their hands on his head, and the entire assembly is to stone him. Say to the Israelites, anyone who curses God will be held responsible. Anyone who blasphemes the name of the Lord will be put to death. The entire assembly must stone them, whether foreigner or native born. When they blaspheme the name of the Lord, they are to be put to death.'" And so misusing the name was a capital offense. Why would God do this? Because his name is sacred. His name is holy. It's not to be misrepresented. It's not to be misused. And it's certainly not to be cursed. I don't know about you, but I read stories like this in Leviticus, and it makes me thankful for Jesus and New Testament grace. And so let's just look very quickly at how we misuse the name of the Lord. How do we misuse the name of the Lord? The first way that we misuse the name of the Lord is through profanity. Now, many of you hear that word and you think, "I'm good on that because I don't use filthy language and so I don't use profanity." But you know, profane is comes from two words, pro, which means out of, and phanes, which means the temple. And so it's taking something out of the temple. It's taking the name of God, which is used in context in the temple as an act of worship to be magnified, and it's taking his name out into the streets, and it's taking his name through the muck and the mire of the streets. It's profanity. Anytime you take God's holy, majestic name and use it inappropriately outside of the context, it's using profanity. Many of us have in our minds this list of profane words, and this is the list, and we don't say these words because that's using profanity. But anytime you use God's name outside of its context, that is using profanity. Now, I've found that the reason that people use profanity is two reasons. Number one, because they lack emotional control. Number two is because genuinely people use profanity because they want to impress others. And let me just say this as your pastor this morning. Profanity doesn't show your maturity. It actually shows your immaturity, because it takes real maturity to discipline your speech and to season your speech with godliness and wholesomeness. Maybe you heard about the pastor who was making some visits on his bike, and he lived in a small community, and so he said, "I'm just going to ride my bike and make some visits." And so he's riding through the community, and he sees this little boy that's got a little push mower for sale, so the preacher goes over there on his bike, and he asks the boy, he said, what you doing with this lawnmower?" He said, I just happened to need a lawnmower." And he said, "I got it for sale." He said, "I'm just trying to make enough money where I can buy me a bike." And so the preacher said, "I tell you what, I need a mower. You want a bike. Would you be willing to trade my bike for your mower?" And he said, "Preacher, you got yourself a deal." So the preacher, "Well, let me make sure it cranks first." And so he pulled the rope and several times, and it didn't crank. And he said, he told the boy, he said, "I can't get it to crank." He said, "Preacher, I'm just being honest with you. You gotta cuss the mower before it'll start." He said, "Son," he said, "I've been a preacher for 25 years. He said, I don't cuss. He said, "I don't even remember how to cuss." He said, "You keep pulling that rope, it'll come back to you." You ever use profanity because of a lack of control, because your anger just got to a point and you expressed yourself with some sort of profanity? There was a preacher who was in a store, and there was a couple of young kids behind him, and one of the kids used a very profane word, and the preacher turned around. He said, "Son, when I hear somebody like you use a word like that," he said, "that sent a cold chill up my spine." He said, "Well, you should have been at my house yesterday when Dad slammed his finger in the door. You would have frozen to death." Some people just misuse God's name through profanity. But there's another way that people misuse God's name, and that's through impulse. And this is the trap that a lot of us good-natured, God-fearing, church-going people. This is the trap that many of us fall into, and this was the trap that I was in, even as a pastor in my first church, is we would never say God and follow that up by saying the word damn. We would never say GD. That's off the list. We would never do that. And we pride ourselves on not saying anything like that. We pride ourselves on not using profanity. But occasionally, we will use God's name as an expression of fear, an expression of anger, an expression of joy or surprise. Let me give you an example. You may be out fishing. And boy, you've got a big fish on. He gets right there at the boat, and then the line breaks. You say, God Almighty, I just lost the fish. Or someone walks up to you and they say, I don't know if you've heard, but I'm pregnant. You say, sweet Jesus, that is exciting. Or maybe you find out how much something costs. You say, good God, that's a lot of money. These are expressions that Christians use on a daily basis without even realizing that what we're doing is we're reducing the name of God to a level of exclamation or anger, or even worse, we're using His name to substitute as a cuss word. Now, I know that this is hard truth this morning, and I know this is convicting, and I'm not taking any joy in preaching this sermon, but let me just caution you, love God enough to cherish His name, because His name is sacred and it's holy, it's been set apart. It's not to be used impulsively or casually or to exclaim or to express joy or to express anger. And there's a lot of people who pat themselves on the back because they don't use filthy language, but they'll use the expression, oh my Lord, in a heartbeat. After John very graciously and lovingly told me what I was doing, I tell you what became a big part of my vernacular is, my stars are good gracious, that surprises me. You know why? Because this is serious business. When we misuse the name of God, we take His name out of its context. It is profanity. And when we do that, we're offending the creator and sustainer of this universe. And may I just respectfully suggest this morning, if you're going to choose to offend someone, then you pick someone besides the sovereign creator of this universe who's going to one day judge you. What's interesting to me is you never hear someone say, how much does that cost? Sweet Buddha, that's a lot of money. You never hear anybody say, did you hear I'm pregnant? My Muhammad, that is awesome news. OMM. You never hear that. You know why? Because Satan so hates the name of God that he's ingrained in this culture. He longs to see us use the name of God inappropriately. And anytime we use His name flippantly, there are consequences that are severe. That's what God says. I'll not hold anyone guiltless who misuses my name. When we mess with His name, we mess with His reputation, we mess with His character, we mess with His authority. So that's how we misuse the name of God. But I want you to see, secondly, how we can magnify the name of God. See, all throughout Scripture, God promises abundant blessings for those who magnify His name, for those who use His name correctly. And so God instructs us, when you use my name, you make sure and do it carefully. You make sure and do it reverently. You make sure and do it in the right context and use it as an act of worship. And so when you say the name of God, you better mean it, you better love it, you better cherish it with all of your heart. Psalm chapter 29 verse 2 says, give to the Lord the glory that is due His name. And let me just kind of caution you here out of love. Be careful about what movies you go to. Be careful about what you expose your mind and your eyes to on television. Be careful about what music you listen to. Because as Christians, as believers, as followers of Jesus, if we can sit through a movie that constantly takes the majestic name of God and diminishes His character and His reputation and mocks our Lord and Savior, as Christians, there's something in that that ought to offend us. Because if it offends God, it ought to offend His children. You say, it really doesn't bother. I can sit through a movie that uses God's name in vain. It really doesn't bother me. Listen, if it was someone who was intentionally mocking or making fun of your wife or your children, would that offend you? God holds such a special place in our heart. And when we consider what the Lord Jesus has done for us, it ought to offend us when he is offended. You say, it doesn't bother me that much. Would it bother you if someone were mocking your wife and children? Of course it would. You would defend them. But yet we're hesitant to defend the name and the character and the authority of our God. I was inspired to hear about a man who died and went to heaven, and this upsetting up a joke, okay? All right. Y'all can get a smile back on your faces. It's going to be okay. He died, and he, of course, stood before St. Peter, and St. Peter said, you know, why should I let you into heaven? He said, well, because I did many brave and heroic and noble things while I was on the earth. And St. Peter said, well, give me an example. He said, all right, one time I was in a diner, and he said, this gang of bikers pulls up, and he said, this was the meanest, nastiest, motley-looking crew of bikers. He said the leader had tattoos all over his head, just vile tattoos all over his head. He said he had piercings all over his face. He had a pierced ear and a pierced nose and a chain that ran in between and connected those two piercings. And he said that gang walked into this diner, and he said they were using some of the most blasphemous, disgusting language, he said, that I've ever heard. They were taking God's name in vain. He said, I looked around. There were women and children in that diner. He said, I couldn't take it. He said, I went over to that gang leader, and I said, you're being disrespectful, and I'll not stand for it. He said that gang leader got out of his booth, and he stood up, and he was like 6'4". Boy, he was tough, had huge muscles. He said, what are you going to do about it? He said, I got so bold. He said, I slapped him across the face. I took that chain that connected those two piercings, and I ripped it off his face. And St. Peter said, wow, when did you do this? He said, about 2 minutes ago. We've got to defend the name of our God in this culture. One way we can defend it is by what we do. Colossians chapter 3 verse 17 says, in whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. That means everything you do, every place you go, whether you're eating out, whether you're shopping, amen, Brother Chris, preach it, Benjamin just said, held up a sign and said it, whether you're shopping, whatever you're doing, whether you're dating, wherever you're going, do everything in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Because here's the deal, you're a walking advertisement for Jesus. You're a walking, talking billboard for Jesus. And people who do not read the Bible will read you because you say you read the Bible. People who do not follow Jesus will follow you because you say you follow Jesus. They're watching you. They're looking at you. And many people who do not know God will evaluate God's reputation, God's honor, God's character by watching you, by watching how well you represent Him, because they know that you follow Jesus. And so you may be the only Jesus that some of the people in your office ever see. You may be the only Jesus that some people in this community ever get a chance to get a glimpse of. Acts chapter 11 verse 26 talks about the disciples and says they were called Christians first at Antioch. What the word Christian means is little Christ. They were little versions of a big Christ. And so by how they walked, how they talked, how they carried themselves, they represented Christ. And so when people looked at these early disciples, they were to see a true representation of Christ. And when we misuse His name, we're forgetting who He is, and we're forgetting who we are. See, we've got to remember is God is perfect. God is righteous. God is holy. We are imperfect. We are unrighteous. We are unholy. And we do not dare misuse His name. Because when we speak the name of God, when we say the name of Jesus, it should be with such appreciation. It should be with such reverence for Him. Because our ultimate desire is to never misuse His name. Our ultimate desire as little Christ is to magnify, bring glory to the blessed name of Jesus. You want to know what scares me? There's a verse in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, in which Jesus was talking to the crowd. And He said this. This is Jesus' word, not mine. This is what He said. But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. When I think about all the careless, all the frivolous, all the empty words that I have spoken, this scares me to death. But let me put you at ease today. Let me encourage you all, because here's what Acts chapter 4, verse 12 also says, that salvation is found in no other name under heaven by which we must be saved other than Jesus. We're going to be judged one day, but let me tell you how to skip that judgment. Come to Jesus. Because salvation is found in no other name other than Jesus. It is the rich, glorious, powerful name of Jesus that saves us from our sin, that saves us from judgment, that saves us from an eternity separated from Him. Thank you, Benjamin. I'm trying, bud. I really am. John chapter 20, verse 31 said, "But these things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, so that by believing in His name, you will have life." You want to pass this morning from death to life? Call on the name of Jesus. You want to pass this morning from emptiness to abundance? Call on the name of Jesus. See, eternal life doesn't start the moment you get to heaven. Eternal life starts the moment that you believe. And some of you here may be thinking, I really need to clean up my language. I really need to watch what I say. It may not be an issue of your language. It may be an issue of your heart. The Bible says what's in your heart is what comes out of your mouth. It may not be the dirty mouth that you need to worry about. It may be the dirty heart that needs to be cleaned. And you're incapable of cleaning it, but Jesus can. And today you can call on His name and He can save you. You represent the Lord Jesus Christ, and we ought never misuse His holy and majestic name. Alexander the Great was one of the greatest military strategists to ever live. He was incredibly courageous. He was brave. Before battles, he could be found on the front line. He was never in the back, but he was always in the front because he wanted his soldiers to see, to have modeled before them what bravery and courage looked like. And so they were getting ready for a battle. He was pepping up his troops. He was trying to motivate his guys. And he looked in the back, and there was one of his soldiers was riding off in the other direction. And so he took off around his troops, and he caught that deserter, and he found him. And he said, "Soldier, what is your name?" And he said, "Alexander, just like you." He said, "Tell me your name again." He said, "Sir, it's Alexander." He said, "Were you deserting your army?" He said, "Yes, sir." Alexander the Great took him by his collar and pulled him off that horse and put his face in his face. And he said, "You either change your direction or you change your name." Christians, can I tell you this morning, and I love you. I couldn't love you anymore if my life depended on it. But there are some of you today that you need to either change your language or you need to change your name. Because you're not talking like a Christian. You're not acting like a Christian. If you're a follower of Jesus, then you'll take His name and you'll magnify it and you'll worship it and it'll change your life. Let's pray together. If you've never been saved, the invitation is simple. I invite you to come to Jesus this morning. If you're looking for a church to join, there's no better church than Lizella Baptist. Maybe that you just need to come kneel at the altar because you've taken His name for granted and you've taken it out of the temple and you've misused it and you've misrepresented it and it's profanity, it's profane. And maybe you just need to come to the altar and say, "Lord, forgive me. I need my heart cleansed. I need my mouth cleansed today." And whatever God's leading you to do today, you be obedient to the call of Jesus today, because that's the only way that you'll find joy and happiness in this life, is to live obediently. And so if He's calling you to come today, you come as He leads. Father, in Jesus' name, would You stir our hearts in this time of invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet. I'll be standing down front. You come as He leads.